I would like to open this morning session, and before we start with our formal agenda, I would like to ask everyone around the table here to shortly present himself, and we start with Luciano.
I am Luciano Musa from CERN, working on the ALICE experiment.
Peter Zavada, I am from Institute of Physics in Prague.
Eduard Bos, I am from Moscow State University, Institute of Nuclear Physics.
Peter Christoph CERN, the ALICE experiment.
Antonio Editato, University of Bern.
Sergei Nagaitsev from the University of Chicago and Fermilab.
Laszlo Jankowski, Bogolyubov Institute, Kiev.
John Klemels, University of Cape Town, South Africa.
Stanislav Dubnička from Slovak Academy of Science.
Boris Sharkov, GNR.
Richard Lednitsky, GNR.
Alexander Chilakov, PAC Secretary General.
Itzhak Tsruya, Whiteman Institute.
Viktor Matveev, GINR.
Mikhail Itkis, GINR.
Vladimir Kikriz, Joint Institute of Nuclear Research.
Alexander Sorin, GINR.
Tatiana Strich, GINR, Laboratory of Information Technology.
Roberto Carlin, University of Padova and CERN.
Achille Petrilli, CERN, High Granularity Calorimeter in CMS.
Okay, thank you very much. So with that, we will start with the agenda as you have in front of you. And I have a short presentation to introduce the meeting. So. The slide is this one,
this is previous, this is next
and the one. And the laser
top.
And the top one.
Yes.
Okay. So I have, as usual, a very short presentation to introduce the meeting. I will be reminding you of the highlights of our last meeting that took place in January of this year. I will very briefly report about the Scientific Council meeting that took place in February 21, 2022, and some other recent developments, and then introduce the agenda of today. So let me start with the highlights of the last meeting. The highlight of NICA, we express our concern about the series of delays that occurred in the overall schedule of the NICA project, mainly in the booster installation and the civil construction. And we got a revised schedule for the booster with a technical run that was supposed to have taken place in April and May. Unfortunately, there is still some small delay, but the overall schedule is not very much affected, and we are still expecting to have the booster commissioned with BEAM by the end of this year. We also have, as usual, presentations on the infrastructure development. As you know, there are many, many items devoted to the infrastructure of GINR installations. Last time it was focused on the renovation of water pipelines and thermal grids, and we will again this time hear the an update of the work that is ongoing on the various fronts concerning civil constructions and all the infrastructure of power, cooling, etc., that are needed for the NICA project. Concerning the BM-10 and the MPD, both of them, they had their second collaboration meeting on October 29 and 30 of 2018. And the highlight of that meeting were the admission of new institutions, 6 to the MPD and 1 for the BM-10. Election of spokespersons, Adam Kisiel for MPD and Mikhail Kapishin for BM-10. The election of the institutional board chairs, Fuxian Wong for the MPD and Hans Rudolf Schmidt for BM-10. The appointment of project managers for the MPD, Slava Glovatyuk, and for the BM-10, Anna Maksimchuk. The appointment of deputy spokesperson Viktor Ryab of Antsebotang for the MPD and Peter Zenger for BM-10, and also the several structures of the collaboration, Executive Council, the Tector Council, Physics Working Group, all those things have taken place. So we can now say that the collaborations exist, they have all the structure in place, and all those structures are functioning, as we will hear later on today. Concerning the detector MPD itself, there is a steady progress in the construction of all the main subsystems that are due for stage one of the detector. This is ongoing without any big showstopper. There was a very positive development, this joint gram of the Russian Federation and the People's Republic of China for the construction of the ICAL. So the China's with several groups will have a very substantial contribution for the construction of the calorimeter of the MPD. Concerning the BM-10, BM-10 is already at the phase of data taking, although with limited coverage, and we were urging the group to focus on physics analysis. They have collected substantial amount of data in 2017 and 2018, and we were pushing them to focus on these analyses, and we will hear report of first result that were released later today. On the hardware side, there has been steady progress on the design and plans for establishing a vacuum beam pipe all the way from the nucleotron till to the experimental setup and through the experimental setup. This is crucial for the work with heavy ion, and this work is ongoing, and we will hear an update later today. Concerning the Scientific Council, as I mentioned, it met on February 21 and 22, and I will not review all what was discussed at the Scientific Council. This will be reported later by Richard. I will just briefly mention all those issues that are relevant to us, namely for the pack of particle physics. So the Scientific Council had an analysis of all the flagship programs of GINR, among them, of course, NICA. They welcomed the establishment of the international collaborations, also the NICA grant program of the Russian Federation for Basic Research. Also, we have very positive comments about the implementation of priorities between all the ongoing neutrino experiments at GINR, and I will say a few words more later on. Concerning the, our own recommendations, they were all endorsed by the Scientific Council. The Scientific Council shares our concern about the delays on the NICA schedule. They were pleased with the establishment of the international collaboration of MPD and Biet and Aten. And they also took with satisfaction the steady progress in the construction of the subsystems of the MPD detector and also the BMATEN transport line. And they also concur with us that BMATEN should focus on physics analysis of the data they have collected. Concerning a new project, the Scientific Council actually endorsed all our recommendations in that front, namely the recommendations concerning the SPD, the second detector at the NICA Collider, where they should present soon to us a conceptual design report that will be followed by the technical design report. They also endorse our recommendation on the BS3 project till the end of 2022 with second priority. We discuss also the upgrade of the FOSS, the R&D activities of the GINAR team in ALICE for the upgrade of the FOSS calorimeter. This project was also recommended for continuation till the end of 2020 with first priority. And we also had some reports from ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS. Now, the other thing that we had the great discussion last time in January was the joint evaluation of all the neutrino programs at GINR. This evaluation was currently done, as you remember, together with the PAC of nuclear physics. So the Scientific Council congratulates both PACs for the careful evaluation in the joint session of the two PACs of all project and research teams carried out at GINR in the areas of neutrino physics, astrophysics, and dark matter. We develop a rigorous methodology for the evaluation and relative comparison of all those programs. I will not repeat all what we did, but we end up classifying all the project in three categories, where category A is excellent, category is very good, but with some weaknesses, and explicit recommendation of how to improve, and category C that had several weaknesses. The PAC, the Scientific Council endorsed all the recommendations of the PAC and considers that these recommendations and the classification will be useful for the DLNP and the GINR directorate in their effort toward concentration of resources in selected directions and strengthening of the research program. So that much for the Scientific Council. Again, we will hear more in a few minutes from Richard. Some other thing that happened in between, both MPD and BMATEN had their third collaboration meeting on April 16 and 17. Was quite well attended. We may hear some more from the report of Adam later today. The GINAR strategic long-range plan, the drafts were completed, both the draft concerning particle physics, that was convener is Rusakovic, and also the draft for the relativistic heavy ion and spin physics, was convener is Rumen Tsenov. Those drafts were completed and were submitted to Vice Director Boris Sharkov. The Rumen will later report to the PAC on this draft. So this is basically what I have to say, and this brings me to the agenda of today. This is what we have to discuss today. Not going in one by one, but just say that the highlight of what we are going to discuss is the update reports on NICA, MPD, and BM-10, including also infrastructures. There are projects that are completing their program this year and are seeking continuation: ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS, SCAN3, NA64, and MICC. So we will hear all those proposals for the continuation. And there is a new project that has been presented for the first time, and this called the FASA, that we will be also discussing. So this is all what I have. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them. If not, we just go ahead with Richard's report. Okay, so thank you. And Richard.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody, dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues, guests. I will give a short information about the resolutions of the Scientific Council, which held in February this year, and decisions of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries from March this year. So the 125th session of the Scientific Council took place here in Dubna on 21st-22nd February. It was chaired by the director Viktor Matveev and co-chaired by Professor Catalin Borcea from Romania. The agenda as usual started from director's report, then there was analysis of implementation of the schedules of realization of the flagship projects, NICA, Super Heavy Element Factory, and Baikal GVD. Then there was information about status of the establishment of Solcris laboratory at the Solaris Center in Krakow, recommendations of the PACs, reports by young scientists, awards and prizes, and announcement of vacancies of positions. Concerning the director's report, the Scientific Council took note of it, covering the recent highlights of joint institute development, the progress in implementing flagship programs, the decisions of the latest session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November last year, and events in international cooperation. The Scientific Council appreciated the milestones achieved in the development of the flagship program, in particular the establishment of international collaborations for the MPD and BM-10 experiments, the organizations of two meetings of these collaborations, and the holding of a targeted competition of Mega Science NICA for grants of the Russian Foundation for Basic Research, which certainly contributes to attracting a wide international community, including Russian institutes, to the realization of the NICA project. Then the production of the first beam of accelerated heavy ions at the DC-280 cyclotron, which indicates the emergence of the new basic facility of the institute as the core part of the factory of super heavy elements. The implementation of priorities between all ongoing neutrino experiments aimed at the improving of the coordination of the neutrino physics program and the continuing development of the Baikal GVD detector. Further, the maintenance of the operational conditions of the IBR2 facility and the continued upgrade of its instruments within the Frank Laboratory User Program. The in-progress development of two possible concepts for the future neutron source at Joint Institute. And the start of the active use of the Govorun supercomputer being a promising part of GINER information technology infrastructure. The Scientific Council congratulated the directorate and staff of the Joint Institute on the opening of the international year of the periodic table of chemical elements, noting with satisfaction the numerous dedicated events with Joint Institute participation. The significant level of Joint Institute representation in this event contributes to higher visibility of Joint Institute as a world center with leading position in the synthesis of new elements. Father, the Scientific Council welcomed the initiative by the Directorate to establish a joint Institute Science and Innovation Center. Concerning implementation of the Joint Institute Flagship Project, the Scientific Council took note of the analysis of the schedules of realization, which was presented by in the reports by the Director of Wechselbardin Laboratory, Vladimir Kekelidze, about NICA, Fliorov Laboratory Director Sergei Dmitriev about Super Heavy Element Factory, and by Gelepov Laboratory Deputy Director Dmitry Naumov about Baikal GVD. The Scientific Council appreciated highly the ongoing efforts to implement these major projects of the current 7-year plan for the development of the Institute program for this period. However, considering the existence of competitive projects in several research centers elsewhere, the Scientific Council emphasized the importance of strict observance of the approved timelines. The Council recommended that the General Committee of Plenipotentiaries at its session in March give an overall positive assessment to the analysis presented. Concerning the Solkris Laboratory, the Scientific Council took note of the information presented by Frank Laboratory Director Valery Švecov about the progress of the joint work being done by the Jagiellonian University in Krakow and the Frank Laboratory to develop the concept for and establish a joint institute new research infrastructure, a laboratory for structural research and macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center. The Scientific Council welcomed the start of tendering activities for the supply of equipment and installation of Solkris workstations. At the same time, the Council drew attention to the need for progress in resolving the issue of constructing a superconducting Wiggler capable of providing maximum radiation intensity at an energy of at least 20 keV. As it was indicated in the agreement between the Jagiellonian University and the Joint Institute concerning the establishment of this center. The Scientific Council took note of the recommendation made by program advisory committees, as already was mentioned by Itzhak Tseruya, which held in January 2019, as reported at this session by Itzhak Tseruya, Chairman of PAC for Particle Physics, Marek Levitovich, Chairman for PAC for Nuclear Physics, and Denis Lajos Nagy, Chairman of PAC for Condensed Matter Physics. The Council requested the Directorate to consider these recommendations while preparing Institute Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation for 2020. The Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists, which were recommended by the program advisory committees. East-west asymmetry effect in atmospheric muon flux at the far detector NOVA, upgrade of the GERDA experiment, and clusterization aspects of fulleran carbon 70 according to SANS, SACS, and DLS data. This figure shows nice speakers, Olga Petrova from Gelepov Laboratory, Nadezhda Rumyantseva, also Gelepov Laboratory, and Tetiana Nagorna from Fliorov Laboratory. The Scientific Council thanks Alexander Sergeyev, President of the Russian Academy of Sciences and member of the Scientific Council, for his excellent lecture about exawatt science. Concerning awards and prizes, the Scientific Council congratulated Eliezer Rabinovich, member of this council, on having been awarded the 2019 award for science diplomacy by the American Association for the Advancement of Science, together with other distinguished scientists, Zehra Sayers, Chris Levelin-Smith, and Hervik Schopper, and Khaled Tukan, for their central contributions to the founding and development of the International Physics Center SESAM in Jordania. The Scientific Council congratulated Djelepov Laboratory Chief Researcher Julian Budagov and Joint Institute Vice Director Michael Itkis on the award of the Jubilee Diploma of Honor of the Presidium of National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine for scientific achievements and on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of this academy. It was presented at the session by a member of the Scientific Council and Plenipotentiary of Ukraine, Boris Grinyov. The Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Vladimir Glagolev, Alois Kovalik and Dmitry Naumov as deputy directors of the Djelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems until the completion of the term of office of the director Vadim Bidnyakov. The Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Ohadrach Chulbatar as deputy director of the Laboratory of Information Technology until the completion of the term of office of this laboratory director, Vladimir Korenkov. The Scientific Council announced the vacancy of the position of the director of the Fleurov Laboratory. The election will take place at the 127th session of the Scientific Council in February 2020. Now about the session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. A regular session of this committee was held in Dubna on 25th and 26th March this year. It was chaired by the representative of the Russian Federation, Mikhail Kotyukov. The agenda again started from the director's report, then implementation of the budget for 2018 and draft of the revised budget for 2019. Then status of the NICA complex projects, implementation of the budget for NICA under the agreement between government of the Russian Federation and Joint Institute, and draft of the revised budget for NICA for the year 2019. Then there were report about the results of a meeting of the Finance Committee, proposals of the Finance Committee for selection of the of an organization for auditing financial activities of the Institute in 2018, and status of the Baikal GVD project and factory of super heavy elements. Concerning the report presented by the director, the committee took note of the recommendations of 125th session of Scientific Council and of the directorate information on implementation of the plan of research and international cooperation in 2018 and the Institute's most significant achievements. The committee noted with satisfaction the achievement of important milestones in the development of the flagship projects and programs already mentioned in this presentation when speaking about resolution of the Scientific Council. The committee endorsed the inclusion of the task of constructing the basic configuration of the NICA accelerator complex in the Russian National Project Science and took note of institute obligations related to participation in this project. Committee noted the significant level of joint institute representation in the cornerstone program of the International Year of the Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, which contributes to enhancing the awareness of the international community about the institute achievements in the field of synthesis of super heavy elements. Further, the efforts of the directorate aimed at implementing right of the institute to independently confer academic degrees, the organization of a specialized international competition for junior fellows, and the establishment of the Dubna School of Engineering based at Dubna State University. The committee also noted the signing of the roadmap for scientific cooperation between Federal Republic of Germany and the Russian Federation, as well as the readiness of German partners to continue their participation in the construction of the NICA complex. Further, the signing of the framework agreement on cooperation between GSI FER and Joint Institute, as well as the roadmap for the development of the cooperation between the Arab Republic of Egypt and Joint Institute, the expansion of scientific and technological ties with the French Republic and the Republic of Korea. also the real relevance of the objective to elevate the status of the Italian Republic and the Republic of Serbia in joint institute. The committee commissioned the directorate to present a draft of strategic plan for the long-term development of a joint institute at the next session in November 2019, and to present and submit at the session in March 2020 a report on the progress of implementation of the seven-year plan for the development of a joint institute in the period 2017-2023, as well as proposals for the update of this plan. The committee supported the measures proposed by the Directorate for Innovative Development of Joint Institute. The committee commissioned the Directorate within the framework of the innovation policy to prepare a project for the use in the interest of the member states of new innovative tools, including innovation science and technology centers proposed by the Russian Federation in the National Project Science, the State Program for the Development of Science and Technology, and in other regulatory acts. Concerning financial issues, the report implementation of the Joint Institute budget for 2018 and draft of the revised budget of the Joint Institute for 2019 was presented by Mikhail Vasiliev, Deputy Head of the Institute Finance and Economy Office. The Committee of Plenipotentiary took note of the information of the implementation of the budget for 2018 and approved the revised budget of the Institute for 2019 with the total income and expenditure amounting to 289.79 million of US dollars. Concerning the report implementation of the budget for NICA project under the agreement between government of the Russian Federation and the Institute, and draft of the revised budget for NICA for 2019 was presented by Wechselbardin Laboratory Director Vladimir Kekelidze. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries endorsed the report on the use for NICA of the budget funds of Joint Institute and of the special proposed funds of the Russian Federation provided under this agreement for the period until 2018 inclusive. It approved the revised budget for the use of the special proposed funds of the Russian Federation provided for the NICA project for the year 2019 in the amount of 3.71 billion rubles. Based on the reports presented by Arsen Khvedelidze, plenipotentiary of Georgia, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee, which was held on 23rd March, and approved the auditing company Korsakov and Partners from Moscow as the Joint Institute Auditor for 2018, and authorized it to conduct an audit of the Institute's financial activities according to a plan proposed by the Directorate. The committee commissioned the Directorate to submit for consideration and approval at the next session the following documents. First, an updated draft procedure of the offset of costs of supplies of equipment, instruments, materials, services, and individual work on the Institute's orders against payments of member states' contributions. Second, an updated draft regulation on research and educational programs for joint institute cooperation with scientific organizations and universities of member states. And third, a new version of the regulation of the joint institute staff. Concerning status of flagship project, the committee considered progress reports of the Institute major projects NICA, Super Heavy Element Factory, and Baikal GVD, presented by Vladimir Kekelidze, Sergei Dmitriev, and Dmitry Naumov. Concerning the NICA project, the committee noted that the work on NICA is being carried out actively and is continuously monitored by the directorates of the laboratory and joint institute. It welcomed the achievement of the first goal of the project, the launching of the BM&N experimental setup with extracted beams. It noted the need to intensify the work on the NICA complex project in order to fully and timely accomplish its goals. Concerning Baikal GVD project, the committee noted the installation of 3 clusters with a total number of 864 optical modules during 2016-2018, which has made this facility the largest neutrino telescope in the Northern Hemisphere, as well as the continuous work to update the infrastructure of the experiment. It welcomed the plans of the Jalapov laboratory to install 2 more clusters in 2019 and commission, so install the last cluster in the Baikal Neutrino Telescope in 2021. Concerning the factory of super heavy elements, the committee congratulated the staff of the Fluor laboratory on the production and extraction of the first beam of heavy ions at the DC-280 cyclotron. It endorsed the Fluor laboratory most important tasks for the super heavy element factory as follows: production of heavy ion beams with design parameters, commissioning work and start up of the gas field recoil separator, GFS2, preparation and conduct of day first experiments on the synthesis of moscovium isotopes in the calcium americium reaction, as well as of experiments on the synthesis of new element 120 in the titanium californium reaction. In connection with the inauguration of the experimental building of super heavy factory and with the launching of the DC-280 cyclotron, the committee noted the successful completion of the major stage of the construction of this unique accelerator complex aimed at obtaining breakthrough results in the field of synthesis and study of properties of new elements. Appreciated highly the scientific and technological quality of the realization of the project to build the cyclotron DC-280 and the participation of its most member states of a joint institute. Congratulated the directorate and staff of Joint Institute on the launching of this new basic facility at the institute. The committee commissioned the directorate to study the issue of establishing a prize of Joint Institute Committee of Plenipotentiaries to award creative teams of the institute staff for ideas of conceiving, developing and implementing large-scale projects of this institute executed at the highest world standards. During this session, the committee inaugurated an alley on the site of the Jalapov laboratory to commemorate the Polish scientist Andrzej Hrinkiewicz, who made an outstanding contribution to the development of Joint Institute and its international cooperation. The committee supported the proposal of the by the directorate and by the plenipotentiary of the Government of Socialist Republic of Vietnam to hold the next meetings of the Finance Committee and of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November this year in Hanoi, Vietnam. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you, Richard. Are there any questions for Richard? Okay, thank you very much. We'll then proceed with the report on the Nucleotron NICA project by Sergei Kostromin.
Good morning, dear colleagues. NICA project, you know, consists of 3 main stages. The first one includes is fixed target experiment, baryonic matter nucleotron. It's assumed operation of the injection change, including operation of the booster synchrotron and nucleotron itself. The second stage is starting of the collider operation and data taking at the collider, but with the let's say reduced configuration and with restricted systems for bunch formation and for beam cooling. The end of this stage is operation of the NICA collider in full configuration, including all the system, and assuming getting the project luminosity and operation of the system of forming of the beam and performing of the project beam parameters. And the third stage of the NICA is polarized beam and spin physics program. You know that this year activity of accelerator division mainly concerned with commissioning of the NICA booster and related infrastructure following the plan of the project development. It includes commissioning of the high-lock booster transport channel, which is not so large, it include not so many elements, but essential functional. The elements already mounted, and the testing and vacuum pumping right now just started, so the commissioning of this part is started. Also, following the beam, we are going to injection system. As far as I know, today we plan to get delivery from a European company with the injection electrostatic septum and inflector planes, and we should perform incoming inspection and all the tests to see the performance of the device and then start to mount it in the ring. Next month we also plan to have delivery from another company with another part of the system, and after the acceptance of it we should take decision about ordering of the last element, and all of this ordering should go in coming couple of months. What is going with the booster itself? For the moment, about 90% of magnets successfully passed wall test program, and half of the magnetic structure, half of the magnets already delivered and mounted at the accelerator ring. We have here some technological issues and some concern delays with assembly of of the rest of the magnets. We are working on this now, and we fixed the problem. And the assembly and of the 24 quadruple doublets just started. We plan to do this work on coming 2 or 3 months, and in this time frame to deliver the rest of the magnets to the booster ring. Together with this, a lot of works is under performance in preparation, frame of preparation of booster infrastructure, power supply, a lot of other accelerator subsystems, and according to the plan, we, you know that we was going and we are going to take first of all technological run and then commissioning with the beam, and it was scheduled to do technological run middle of this year and commissioning with the beam at the end of the year. We plan to do both this run together by the end of this year, start with the technological run and finishing with the commissioning with the beam by the end of this year. This is in fact situation, and I should come back to this when discussing the the schedule. Also, then going with the beam, we have to go to the nucleotron. The fast extraction system is subcontracted to Butker Institute, and we expect in September this year delivery of the system. And we have, you know, that we have very fruitful and a lot of, let's say, sub-collaborations with Butker Institute. This is one of the points of the collaboration with them. Another not trivial thing, transport channel from booster to nucleotron. It is not so big as well, but you know that to deliver beam from booster to nucleotron, you have to go through elevation in both vertical and horizontal direction. So it's so-called 3D transportation channel, and it is not easy to perform it and to ensure beam transport with minimum ion losses, as well as separation of neighbor charge stage. Also, these elements should be delivered by Butker Institute, and I know that right now our accelerator physicist in very close collaboration with the technicians from Butker Institute, and they follow us with the last changes in the design of the channel, and nevertheless fixed the time frame of the delivery. So this work is also going on. Coming to nucleotron, construct injection system which should be based on the elements on the existing Lambertson magnets. So these elements we have already in house, but we have to do modifications. We have to do superconducting coils for Lambertson magnet. It is not so trivial. It needs some tooling. This work also is going on, and also we are finishing with the design of the kicker. So this is also one of the points of our activity. Nucleotron collider transport system, you know, is under contract with Sigma Phi company. It is a big system, including about 90 elements, and we expect starting of delivery of this number of elements by the end of this year. And here we come to interaction with the readiness of the building construction facilities, because we have to store the elements, and also we have to go to the mounting of these facilities in the corridors of the transport channel. You know that big part of the work is by increasing of power capacity of our cryogenic infrastructure, and this year we are going to get booster satellite refrigerator unit, which is was designed and developed by Heli Mash company. And next year, according to the plan, they have to deliver to us another two units for cooling of the collider itself. A lot of things here should be presented, but I would say that cryogenic technology is our in-house technology, and here I think we have to pay attention for proper control system of this complex to proper integration of this of controlling of this compulse in general control system. Coming to the facility construction, the last data we have that at the last quadrant of this year, the MPD hall should be able for mounting of, for starting of the mounting of the equipment, but the let's say straight sections and collider arcs should be ready for the equipment mounting only at the last quadrant of the next year. This means for us that we should be quite restricted in mounting of the equipment of the collider, and according to the schedule which I come, we should have approximately 12 months for mounting of the equipment of the collider ring. Okay, if we should take one more look to the schedule, as I said, technological run and commissioning with the beam should come at the end of this year, and in fact situation follow us that the next run with Nuclatron beam at N run should be at the end of 2020, and coming to the collider as fixed in our general plan, we have to start data taking at the beginning of 2022, and beside of essential work on testing of the magnets of the machine, we should have approximately 1 year for mounting of all the equipment. What is going with the collider right now? What is the status? The collider is three times more by number of elements in comparative with the booster. We already started the program on testing of the magnets. Up to now, and the program of the production of the yoke already is going on. 50% of the dipoles already delivered to the institute, and we already go through the test with 15 magnets, which is several percent of from total amount. Also, you know that radio frequency system is subcontractor to the Butker Institute. Here we do not expect any delays, and we are really happy with the team from this institute. Right now, we also have on site some first of series element, and we have to perform the testing and to understand the applicability of them in the machine. You know that in May it was a machine advisory committee for the collider, and the status of the system was of practically all the system was considered, and we continue on the as results and as continuation of our activity here. We have to continue development of some system of the collider, which is not finished yet, but like control system, collimation, feedback system, stochastic cooling. This is important, and this system should be used in final configuration, but the key thing for today is that finishing this year, we have to take all the decisions and to foresee, let's say, to foresee design of the system in the ring this year, To perform the tendering for the next year, and then to mount of the equipment in 2021. So all technical solutions should be taken in proper way this year. Maybe not of the system should start with the production and with the design, but the space in the ring and the key solution for the design of the systems I mentioned should be taken by the end of this year. Yes, so all the objects and all the equipment should be foreseen, and then we should go to the industrial production, tendering production, delivery and the mounting. This is all that I have. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Hans.
Yeah, you pointed out to the difficulty of coupling the booster to the nucleotron. I wanted to say that the diagnostic of the beam, you should really pay more attention. We had the short-range correlation experiment running at the nucleotron together fed from the cryon ion source, and the poor people got carbon ions, but also nitrogen ions and oxygen ions. And the explanation I got is not satisfactory, and I would urge the nucleotron team to do the utmost to install diagnostic tools so they can be sure what the beam is, what they deliver, and not let the experiment find out what's coming out of the beam pipe.
Yes, if answering you, of course, if we are talking about new installations of the some diagnostic to the nucleotron, it's difficult to realize, you know, we expect to improve the diagnostic performance of our injection chain and finally got beam with more performance and more information about what we have in the facility.
You mentioned the Machine Advisory Committee that met recently. Was there any concern or showstopper expressed by the Machine Advisory Committee? Or were they pleased by all your solutions?
Machine Advisory Committee take the new information about status, and they stress our attention to the increasing of human resource involved in the development of the project subsystems, and also they pay our attention about the performance and performance of the control system because you're right, the schedule is quite compressed, and also they stress us about the performance of this control system of the complex to follow our schedule and to get the commissioning with the beam and to perform all of launching of the system we going to do.
Mm-hmm. Luciano.
So you mentioned the longitudinal dimension of the beam in stage 1 and stage 2. Do you also have projections for the transverse?
Could you speak louder? We don't hear you here.
Yes.
So I was asking about the dimension of the beam in the transverse plane, mm-hmm. stage 1 and stage 2.
Yes, of course, you ask about the diagnostic in stage of the collider operation. We have as well transverse diagnostic of the beam, and I would say that from accelerator point of view, all issues concerned with diagnostic, which maybe not full enough in the nucleotron right now, is fully prescribed in the booster and collider itself, so the diagnostic will be quite enough to be in performance of the parameters of the beam and to know everything we know for the physical experiment and to ensure the project parameters of the facility itself.
We
Sorry, I just said that Dubna is indeed a leader in cryogenics, and you made a cryptic remark about this. Is the delivery of the cryogenic plant for the ring assured? I heard something that there may be difficulties because it's ordered in a Czech company or so.
Maybe. Yes, we have essential problem of the cryogenic parts of cryogenic factory or central unit deliveries. Hope it's better to listen next talk with the details of this business. But the I would just give a comment that we know that cryogenic, it is our home technology, and we have to organize this business in perfect way. Otherwise, facility should not operate. If something will be wrong with cryogenic, all other discussions does not matter. This is true. This is fact. We know about this, and we pay attention about maintaining of proper control system. And we hope that the decision taking when planning of, because the key decisions already taken, and we hope that it should work.
Okay, we will hear more during the next talk. So last question, could you please go to slide 14? For the booster injection system and the booster fast extraction system, there are two periods of commissioning at the end of 2019 and 2020. Why are there? What's happening between those two?
I should answer following way. You know that all of these are quite stress and quite compressed schedule, and we plan. The first commissioning you said, we plan here to do commissioning of this system together with the first commissioning of the booster. And when we have a chance for the second operation, we plan to do final tuning of this system. So here it's mentioning like another commissioning, but it really mentioned final tuning and I hope maybe this work should continue on the next run, but for this plan, it is fine-tuning of the system.
Thank our speaker again. And we now move on to the report on infrastructure by Yulia Mitrofanova. Here, but Okay. This is your computer or this is from the system?
Он еще раз дать флешку?
Very smoothly, so what is the issue?
Mr. Chairman, dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues, my name is Mitrofanova Yulia, and today I represent the report of the infrastructure development, including the Nuclatron. The main goal of my presentation is to give you the information about the status of our activities for the NICA project. You can see here the outline of my talk, and let me to start from the civil constructions, which we are going to realize. As you know, there are three new buildings, NICA Innovation Center, new compressor hall, and the collider building. As for the NICA Innovation Center, the Institute of Unique Construction, ARENA, continues the designing of this building. You can see how this building will be looked outside and inside on the next slides. This building has been designed for 450 workplaces. There are offices which are oriented to the outside corridors and lobby which exit to the courtyard. There is a conference hall for 750 seats, a data center, and a cafe. Now this project is close to be completed. The next building is the new compressor hall. This building is very important for the cryogenics of the NICA accelerator complex. The new equipment for this compressor hall has already been delivered to Joint Institute and now is ready for installation at the corresponding places. As you know, in 2017, we entered into the contract with a company named PSJ. Construction of this building was started, but last summer the work was stopped and the contract was broken due to financial problems of this company. The new contract with a construction company named Stroytsekh Invest Moscow was concluded in May of this year. According to this new contract, the completion construction of the building, together with the mounting of the corresponding equipment in it, should be completed within 240 days from the date of signing of this contract. And, of course, information about the collider building, building number 17. Status of the SPD hall. Mounting of the concrete structures has been almost completed, complete more than 90%. Mounting of the steel structures is carried out at the present time, as well as the mounting of the facades and roof. Status of the MPD hall. The concrete structures, mounting of the concrete and steel structures has been completed. The roofing work is at the completion stage, complete more than 70%. And the preparatory work for installation of the facades and translucent structures will begin in the near future. Delivery of the multipurpose detector is scheduled on the end of this year. And status of the eastern and western half ring of this building. Mounting of the concrete structures has been completed, and mounting of the steel structures is at a completion stage. The very important part of the NICA infrastructure are the lifting facilities. At the laboratory of high energy physics, there are 33 lifting facilities with a different lifting capacity. 25 units are the manual mechanical hoists and winches. At the present time, two lifting beam cranes with a capacity of 5 and 10 tons respectively are being put into operation in the buildings number 32 and 42. For the NICA infrastructure, in the near future, additional 17 units with a different lifting capacity from 1 to 80 tons will be put into operation. The most important of this crane is the double girder bridge electric crane with a lifting capacity of 80 tons. This crane has been mounted in the MPD hall and will be used for assembling and mounting of the multipurpose detector. In this slide, you can see the control cargos. These total cargos with a total weight of 100 tons have been purchased and delivered to Joint Institute for to carry out the dynamic and static test of this crane. And these tests were successfully carried out 2 weeks ago. Now I will give you the information about the modernization of our institute's electrical systems. In this slide, you can see the existing power scheme, existing power supply scheme. There are two independent lines with the length of 20 kilometers each of 110 kilovolts from the settlement Tempe to Dubna. At the Joint Institute site, we have two substations, GPP number 1 and GPP number 2. The total power of these two substations is equal to 52 megawatts. 28 megawatts is intended for the city power users and only 24 for the NICA project. Of course, it will be not enough in the future for the NICA project, and the next slide shows the plan of development of these two substations for the future. This, after the reconstruction and the modernization of these two substations, the total power for the Joint Institute will be increased by 28 megawatts. At the substation number one, two main transformers with the capacity of 20 megawatt each will be replaced by two units with the capacity of 40 megawatt each. At the substation number two, three units with the capacity of 16 megawatt will be replaced by the four units of the same capacity each. This project has already received the positive conclusion of the expert organization, and completion of the reconstruction is scheduled for 2020. As for the substation number one, which is the most important substation for the NICA project, the contract with the joint stocks company Siemens Transformers for supply of two transformers with the capacity of 40 megawatts each has been completed. And now this equipment is kept in the storage of the producer factory. Taking into account the second category of reliability and, of course, the reactive electrical loads, the total possible load of the substation number one after the reconstruction will be equal to 40.8 megawatt. The estimated power distribution of this substation after the reconstruction and after the NICA project startup is shown in this slide. You can see here the main users of the substation number one. At the present time, the working documentation is developed by the company Elektrocentra Montaž. And as I said, the reconstruction of this substation is scheduled in 2020. For the NICA project, the internal electrical systems of our laboratory will be upgraded in the near future. In this slide, you can see the already reconstructed 6 kilovolt substations. Substations number 13 is a source of electricity for the nucleotron magnets and for the future collider NPD and SPD. Substation number 42, it is a source of electricity for the test facility of superconducting magnets. Substation number 11 will be used for power supply of the electron cooling system, and substation K will be used for power supply of the beam extraction line from the nucleotron. Three additional substations will be upgraded in the near future. Substation 12, substation number 15, it is a source of electricity for the collider and one of two, and the source of electricity for the building 205. And substation number 21, it is the biggest substation with a capacity of 14 megawatts. This substation is divided into two parts. One part will be used for power supply of the accelerators, the second part for power supply of the compressors. Both parts will have the independent input lines from the main transformer substation. The design work for all three, for all these three substations has been completed, and the documentation is at the approval stage by the Rostechnadzor at the present time. And the preparatory work for beginning of the reconstruction of these three substations is carried out at the present time, purchase of the cables and so on. And finally, about the cryogenics for the NICA accelerator complex. The NICA complex will require the additional refrigerating capacity at liquid helium at liquid nitrogen temperature. As you know, the helium cryogenics for the NICA complex will be constructed as a result of reconstruction of the existing equipment for cryogenic supply of the nucleotron. The helium cryogenics of the nucleotron is based on two helium refrigerators with a total refrigerating capacity of 4,000 watts at the temperature 4.5 Kelvin. The main goals of the modernization as follows: increasing the total capacity from 4,000 to 10,000 watts, ensuring the shortest possible cool down time till the operating temperature of all three accelerator rings with the total length of about 1 kilometer and total cold mass of about 290 tons. And of course, to construct the new distribution system of liquid helium. And these goals will be achieved by means of commissioning of the new additional helium liquefier. As I said, the helium, the existing helium cryogenics for the nucleotron is based on two helium refrigerators named KGU. And the cryogenics for the future booster and collider will consist of a central helium liquefier with a capacity of 1,000 liters per hour of liquid helium and satellite refrigerators located close to the accelerator rings of the booster and collider. These refrigerators will operate using liquid helium obtained from the central helium liquefier. For cooling down and cryostating of the booster and collider, three satellite refrigerators will be used, each with a refrigerating capacity of 2,000 watts. One of them will be used for cooling and cryostating of both half rings of the booster, and two others, each for cooling and cryostating of the corresponding half ring of the collider. Besides, for the NICA project, the new closed-cycle nitrogen cryogenic system will be constructed. This system, with a total capacity of 2,300 kg per hour of liquid nitrogen, will be based on three nitrogen tube compressors, nitrogen liquefier, and two nitrogen recondensers. New facilities that will appear by the updating and building helium and nitrogen cryogenics for the NICA complex are shown on the next slides. You can see here that the cryogenics will be located in the building 1B, central cryogenic plant, new compressor hall, and in the building number 17, collider building. The green color corresponds to the status equipment has been delivered to Joint Institute. Blue color delivery will be in 2019. Red color delivery will be in 2020. You can see here the central cryogenic plant with the cryogenics for the nucleotron and for the future booster. New compressor hall with the nitrogen and helium compressors. And building number 17, cryogenics for the future collider. Now, a few words about the status of the cryogenics of the main parts, of the main parts of the helium cryogenics for the NICA complex. The helium liquefied with a capacity of 1,000 liters per hour was specially designed by the NPO Gelimash Moscow, and in 2016 we have carried out the start-up of the largest helium liquefier in Russia. In 2017, the helium satellite refrigerators named RSG-2000 with a capacity of 2,000 watts at the temperature 4.5 Kelvin was also designed by the NPO Gelimash. Delivery of the first satellite refrigerator for the cooling and cryostating of the booster is scheduled on the end of this year. Satellite refrigerators for the collider will be delivered in 2020. In 2017, the helium refrigerator with a capacity of 100 watts for cooling and cryostating of the MPD magnet was specially designed by the ILK Dresden. The cold test of this helium refrigerator will be carried out this June, and delivery of this refrigerator is scheduled for 2020. Two screw compressors named Cascade 110 have already been delivered to Joint Institute, and this equipment together with the nitrogen tuber compressors will be installed in the new machine hall mentioned above. As a result of recommendation of Machine Advisory Committee, we have ordered two gas holders with a volume of 1,000 normal cubic meters each for helium and nitrogen cryogenic system of the NICA complex. This equipment will provide the hour pressure in the suction line of our compressors and, of course, the hour pressure in our system in general. In comparison with the soft gas holders, this gas holder will provide the required purity of helium in this system and the reliable operation of the system in general. The first gas holder for the helium cryogenic system will be constructed in this year. So, I hope that my presentation has shown you that the infrastructure of our laboratory for the NICA project is developed properly in all directions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much for this comprehensive review. Questions? Comments? Yes, Sergei?
Maybe just one question. On your slide, let's see. I'm trying to find the number on the slide. It's the table for power distribution customers, consumers. Slide number 18. This one, yes, thank you. The collider is obviously the biggest customer. Is this mostly a resistive load, this 11 megawatt, or is this the cryogenic system that is driving this load?
With the cryogenics?
It's mostly cryogenic system?
Yeah.
So it's not an inductive load from magnets?
Hans?
Following this question, usually when you ramp the booster and ramp the nucleotron, you should have tremendous loads going up to 20, 30 megawatt.
So I think we are asking whether there is capacity for peak loads. We understand that there is an upgrade to the average power load, which is great. But what is the capacity for peak load when accelerators ramp?
I think that the table gives the information taking into account the peak loads.
Okay, let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you very much.
The next report is on the MPD project by Adam Kisiel.
morning to the members of the advisory committee and all the colleagues. I would like to present the status of the MPD collaboration and the and MPD experiment. As it was already mentioned, well, one of the major activities since last meeting of this committee was the third meeting of the MPD collaboration, which was carried out in the April of this year. Here you can see some pictures from this event. There were several activities taken during this meeting that I'll describe later. And the next collaboration meeting was decided that it will take place in Warsaw in the October of this year. And it will actually be coupled to the NICA Days conference, the third of its kind. So if anybody is interested, we invite you to Warsaw for the next collaboration meeting of the MPD collaboration. During this meeting, there was a discussion on the admission of new members. The one university, University of Warsaw, has been admitted as a new member. There was a second candidate to be admitted to the collaboration. This time it was not admitted, however, it was strongly encouraged to enhance its application and apply next time in October. With this new member, we have now 33 institutions from 10 countries plus the Joint Institute, and currently we have 475 members on the collaboration list, which is maintained on our webpage. In terms of the activities of the collaboration organization, of course, we are following the bylaws that were accepted at the first meeting. These bylaws are continuously updated at each meeting. Also, there were updates at the third meeting. One of the major tasks that we are now undertaking is the preparation or the signing of the memorandum of understanding for each of the collaborating institutions. Here, there was a very active discussion on this issue during the institutional board meeting. Let's say the main question or the main aspect that is preventing a lot of institutions from fully committing to the signing of the memorandum of understanding is the question of the common fund and more the rules concerning the execution of the common fund. And we are trying to start the so-called common fund task force, which will provide these rules that hopefully will speed up the process of signing of the memorandum of understanding. In terms of some personal decisions, there were, of course, the deputy spokesperson have already been mentioned, Victor, who is here, and Zibo Tang. The executive council was formed and finally endorsed at the IB meeting during the collaboration meeting. The detector council was also formed and is now operational. Other collaboration structures are being formed, like talks committee and the editorial board. But maybe the most important part of the collaboration organization was the proposition and the endorsement of the creation of the five physics working groups. I list them here, which should be the place where most of the physics analysis, as well as Monte Carlo simulations and performance studies for physics analysis will be performed. These are the global observers, PWG1, spectra of light flavor and hypernuclei, PWG2, correlations and fluctuations for PWG3, and electromagnetic probes for PWG4, and heavy flavor for PWG5. So we hope these five working groups will cover the majority of the physics program of the MPD experiment. Of course, if the need arises, the new groups show up and people show interest in other areas, we may modify the structure in the future, but for now we will be operating within this format. Now the main, the first thing to do when we create these groups is to actually find the leaders for these tasks. The Executive Council has discussed and decided that each of the working groups will have two co-conveners with equal rights. As you can see, these conveners have been finally proposed by the spokesperson and approved by the Executive Council, and we are now tasking them with making sure that all the collaborators who are interested in a given working group are actually working together, meeting and discussing the physics of the respective working groups. As you can see, the collaborators are a mixture of, the conveners are a mixture of scientists from Joint Institute, from Russian institutes outside of Joint Institute, and also some from the outside of Russia. There are at least three conveners from China. Now, in terms of the current simulations that are being carried out by the working groups, this is an example of a major part of our physics program, the reconstruction of hyperons. Here you can see that, of course, the reconstruction of the most basic hyperons at lambda and sigma are very well underway. There seems to be no problem with reconstructing such particles. We can, of course, perform this analysis in a much more differential way versus transverse momentum versus rapidity, and we are able to provide observables like the spectra of such hyperons with their. There seems to be no problem. We are also, of course, always comparing the reconstructed hyperons to the input hyperons, and there seems to be no problem with reproducing the true distributions for such particles. This study has been then repeated for anti-hyperons, or more generally, hyperons with much lower yield than the most common ones. And again, even for the very rare particles like omega plus or Xi plus, we are confident we should be able to reconstruct them with relative ease. And of course, providing, depending on the statistics available, we should be also able to do this reconstruction again differentially versus rapidity versus transverse momentum, which we of course treat as the one of the important parts of the physics program of the MPD. This is an example of how this hyperon reconstruction could work. And then, again, it is done not only as a function of rapidity, not only as a function of transverse momentum, but also for different centralities. And we are, of course, always monitoring the reconstruction efficiency for such particles. And again, this study is always updated with the newest detector geometry, with the newest reconstruction software, and the newest implementation of the tracking and particle identification. Another important part of the physics program is the study of correlations. This is an example of the study of correlations in the realm of so-called femtoscopy. This is a study of the kaon femtoscopy. This one is interesting because it actually requires a slightly different input Monte Carlo model. So we are, of course, our Monte Carlo studies are not done with just one model, but with several of them. This one is interesting, and the reason why we have to use a slightly different one for this study is because we want to include the hydrodynamic stage in the simulation of the event. The reason why we want to do this is because we want to introduce into our calculations two opposing hypotheses for the phase transition from the hadronic matter to coagulant plasma, a first order phase transition and the crossover phase transition, and we're trying to figure out or to identify observables which will allow us to distinguish between these two fundamentally different scenarios. As you can see here, in terms of kaon femtoscopy, there are some differences that could be observed. However, there is always a question whether our statistical and systematic uncertainties will allow us to actually fully distinguish between these two scenarios. So that's, of course, an ongoing investigation. There is a very active and strong group which is now developing the simulations for the electromagnetic calorimeter, various aspects of the analysis in this calorimeter. Of course, the fundamental observable, the fundamental characteristics of the detector, the energy resolution is studied in great detail. This then allows us to perform physics analysis, things like pi zero or eta meson reconstruction. And again, with the current status of the simulation and the current our current understanding of how the detector will look like, it looks like the major physics objectives of this program are perfectly achievable, especially the pi zero and eta spectrum as a function of the transverse momentum. The next important part of the physics program is the reconstruction of resonances. This is a slide which summarizes a very large amount of simulations which deal with many different kind of resonances that we can observe in our detector. And again, it looks like this analysis should be entirely possible, and we can really reconstruct a large wealth of different resonances with relatively good accuracy, and again, as a function of PT. at least as a function of rapidity, and that should that seems like a very strong part of our physics program. We also try to see whether we can reconstruct pi zeros and eta not just with the ECAL, but also with the conversion method, with the conversions inside the detector. This is an example of where such conversion could take place. You see that they usually or mostly take place on the beam pipe or the inner structure of the TPC. And even though the efficiency of reconstruction of subparticles is relatively low, we are still able to reconstruct them, and that should be complementary to the reconstruction which is done in the electromagnetic calorimeter. Actually, ideally, we would like to use both of these methods separately and combined at the same time to achieve the maximum efficiency for such studies. Now, these were the activities that we have taken in the collaboration formation and the preparation of the Monte Carlo studies for our detector, but of course all of this is assuming that our detector will be ready for data taking. So I'll shortly show a progress or major improvements, major advances since the last meeting on the construction of the MPD detector, and I will focus on the main systems of the detector going for stage one. That means magnet, forward harmonic calorimeter, time of flight, TPC, and ECAL. We, of course, have to start with the activity that was already discussed today several times. We are strongly counting on the MPD hall being ready for installation by second part of this year. We are actively preparing for the installation of equipment inside the MPD hall. That means we have to prepare all the place and tooling for the MPD assembling, the service and supply systems, cryogenics, cooling, gas systems, power supply. Then we are strongly considering how our detector will be dealing with the cabling, and then how this cabling will go to the electronics platform that is also under construction. And we are the fundamental part of the integration and installation of the detector is a carbon fiber structure which will go inside the magnet, which will then house all the other detector components. All the other detector components will be fixed to this carbon frame, carbon fiber support structure, which is in design. All the activities of the installation will, of course, start from the magnet. We hope that the yoke, the outer yoke, will be delivered basically by the end of this summer to Dubna, and we can start already the assembly of this yoke. First, to provide final constraints for the superconducting magnet, and to also see how this assembly can work inside the MPD hall. Next stage will, of course, be the delivery of the superconducting magnet and the installation within the yoke. All of those activities are already have a tight plan, and we have a tight schedule, which hopefully will allow us to have this structure ready by the beginning of next year. The TPC, the main gaseous detector, as we have seen a very extensive report yesterday on the progress on this detector. There are many aspects of this installation that I will not have time to go into details. This is one example of the important recent activity. The SAMPA chips have been already shipped from CERN to Dubna, and we hope that this will allow us to prepare the readout chambers together with the readout electronics for the detector. In terms of the time of flight, more than 10% of all MRPCs are already assembled, and we are on track to deliver all the modules by the end of 2020, which should be, by the end of March of 2020, which should be in time for the installation of the detector. Almost all of the FHCAL modules are actually already produced, so we are now working on the integration of these modules and making sure that this detector is in place and plays well with all the other systems of the detector. The electromagnetic calorimeter, there was again a very significant activity since last meeting. We are basically now confident that the China contribution to the electromagnetic calorimeter is secured, and we are strongly hoping that the mass production of modules in China will produce will start shortly. This is an example of our time planning. This is a list of milestones that are now planned for the construction of the MPD. And as you can see, as currently it's the plan stands, the end of December of 2020, we should have an MPD detector ready, assembled, standing in the MPD hall, ready to take cosmic ray tests. As you can see, actually, most of this timeline is dependent on the timely construction of the MPD magnet. Now, all of these things are, of course, critical, but equally important is the preparation of the software for the experiment. So we are, of course, working on our MPD root software. All the Monte Carlo simulations that you've seen before are performed with the official version of this software. The software is, of course, constantly updated. And especially we're taking care that the current status of the detector construction is included into our software as well. Maybe if you remember my first slide, that's actually the official visualization of the MPD detector done with the MPD root software. We have now two major computing centers that are providing computing power for our simulations. One is, of course, the LIT laboratory here in Joint Institute, where there is a combination of several computing infrastructures. One of them is the supercomputer Govaran. The other one is the hybrid LIT computing center, which is now fully operational and providing computing power for our experiment. However, there is a new, very encouraging development. There is a new, significantly larger computing cluster in the Laboratory of Higher Energy Physics, which has already been, provided to the end users. At the moment, we have 3,000 job slots, which is a significant number. However, when the work is completed at the end of 2019, we expect up to even 10,000 job slots. About now 7 petabytes, finally about 10 petabytes of disk space. And this computing cluster will, of course, share it between MPD, BMTN, and SPD, but it should provide also significant computing, additional computing power for the MPD collaboration. And last but not least, we are trying to integrate all of those activities with additional electronic tools for the collaboration formation, collaboration communication, because as we discussed with our collaborators, many of them have expressed a strong need for much more efficient communication, and that's why we're taking these initiatives to improve this aspect of the collaboration activities. So in the summary, the MPD project is progressing more or less according to schedule. All major detectors are now under construction, and we are now focusing also on the integration effort for all these MPD components. And there is also a larger effort in the formation of the international collaboration. And again, it is also progressing, especially since last meeting we have now formed the physics working group. So hopefully with this, our activity will be now more efficient and more organized. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adam. I would like to report to the PAC that yesterday there was a meeting of the Detector Advisory Committee where we reviewed the progress of the MPD, and in general the DAC was very pleased by seeing all the structures of the collaboration really working and pushing ahead, as well as the progress in the subsystem construction. So if there are any other questions or comments for Adam here, so please. Yes, Luciano.
Maybe one comment and one question. Well, first of all, I missed the last meeting, and so I'm really pleased to see the remarkable progress that has been made, also on the development of the detectors, but also in setting up, as you summarized here, all the bodies in the collaboration. Now, you did not mention the technical board. I guess the technical board will play a very essential role in this phase of the project for the integration.
Let me explain. The MPD had a technical board. Now it was just basically renamed to the Detector Council. And it's basically the same body of people. This include the heads of all the major subsystems, including software and computing. So that's what we call now the Detector Council. Has been proposed by the project manager and approved by the institutional board.
Yes, please. Dmitry.
Adam, first of all, thanks a lot for a very nice presentation. My short question is, could you remind us to which extent MPD could handle leptons? What are typical efficiencies for electrons, muons, or it's not possible at all?
No. So basically the studies, all the studies that I've shown here are actually focusing on electrons. So there was actually a very active discussion yesterday on the capabilities of MPD for the electron and dilepton in terms of electrons reconstruction. We have received a recommendation from DAC to maybe improve our efforts in that regard and see how low in PT we can go. I think in the higher than 500 MeV electrons we are confident we can reconstruct with reasonable efficiency. The question is how low we can go with PT. Now, in terms of muons, to my knowledge, there is not yet a very intensive effort. However, there is a proposition to construct a cosmic muon detector around MPD, so-called MCORD, which has also been discussed yesterday. There is a question whether this detector can help with muon reconstruction as well, but this requires much more intensive activity in the future.
Okay, if there are no further comments or questions, I think that we are now breaking for a coffee. And we reconvene 10 past 11. Thank you.